Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai, Prabhupada. Lord Vishnu, the Super Soul within the core of everyone's heart, is the ultimate enemy of the Asuras and is therefore known as the Asura Dvit. He is the leader of all the demigods, because all the demigods, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, exist under his protection. The great saintly persons, sages, and Vaishnavas also depend upon him. To persecute the Vaishnavas, therefore, is the only way to kill Vishnu. Who is speaking? Yeah, let's see. Who is speaking? Yeah. Yes, this is bad association. So we'll go straight to the purport now. The demigods and the Vaishnavas especially are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, because they are always obedient to his orders. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pasyanti Suraya. The demoniac followers of Kamsa taught that if the Vaishnavas, saintly persons, and sages were persecuted, the original body of Vishnu would naturally be destroyed. Thus, they decided to suppress Vaishnavism. The Asuras perpetually struggle to persecute the Vaishnavas, because they do not want Vaishnavism to spread. Vaishnavas preach only devotional service, not encouraging karmis, jnanis, and yogis, because if one must liberate oneself from material conditioned life, one must ultimately become a Vaishnava. Our Krishna consciousness movement is directed with this understanding, and therefore the Asuras always try to suppress it. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurmulitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Datati Sva Padandikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Gaura Bhattavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Mukham Karoti Vachalam, Pangalam Gayate Girim, Yad Kripata Mahamvande, Shri Guru Dinatarinam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a blind man can see stars in the sky. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can cross mountains. And by the mercy of the spiritual man, the spiritual master, a dumb man like me can speak eloquently. I offer my humble obeisances to his lotus feet. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimati Tamala Krishna Goswamini Tinamini. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Vacharini Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paskaradi Satarini Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Ivacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Nama. Lord Vishnu, the Super Soul within the core of everyone's heart, is the ultimate enemy of the Asuras and is therefore known as Asura Dvit. He is the leader of all the demigods, because all the demigods, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, exist under his protection. The great saintly persons, sages, and Vaishnavas also depend upon him. To persecute the Vaishnavas, therefore, is the only way to kill Vishnu. So this is the transcendental plan of the demons, which is dwelling in their mind, from a time immemorial. This world, the old universe, all the living entities, they are actually made out of two kinds of consciousness. Of course, originally we are all eternal lovers of Krishna, but coming down into this material environment, we forget that we've left home. We've been claiming independence, Brexit from the spiritual world. And it's just like a wild teenage. He wants independence from the parents. The father still loves him, but off you go. You can go, no problem. Being liberal and democratic, Lord Krishna, he gives us the exit from his association, because we are curious to know what it is, what is inside of this toilet. We want to know the material world. So therefore, there are living entities with these two types. One, some they have this asuric bhava, this feeling of enmity towards God. Even though they know that there is a Vishnu, there is God, but they defy him. And then there are the devotees, the devas, bhakti bhava. So these two feelings are their bhava emotions. And from these feelings, you can tell if someone is a good person or not. But you could see here that advisors of King Kamsa, they are all imbued, empowered by this Asurik Bhava. And it is actually a feeling that is carried from previous lives. It's not that you get it all of a sudden. It's the cultivation of bhava. It's a very gradual, it's like a kripa, like a plant. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita says that like the fragrance is carried away by the wind carries away different types of fragrance from one place to another place. So similarly, the consciousness of a living entity, birth after birth, carries the fragrance of his material desires and his feelings. It's not by chance that someone doesn't like you, even though he doesn't know you. Have you noticed sometimes you meet someone for the first time and they have this hate or this inimical feeling towards you? Oh, it's not by chance if someone loves you or he likes you. This is all from previous lives. And Jayadeva Prabhu, he does a lot of regressions. Am I correct? We carry these feelings from previous lives. And this original adipap is this feeling of defiance towards God. And it's pretty much in different degree in the heart of everybody. It's not black and white. Either you find a pure devotee or a demoniac person in this world. Even as a devotees, we're working very hard to minimize this Asurik Bhava. Asurik Bhava is a feeling of of envy towards God, and it actually comes out towards. If you want to know how much you are envious of God, then you can measure it by how much you are envious of other living entities, of maybe other devotees. Some they have very little left. Some they have a lot of work to do. But these anarthas are there in the heart of everybody. If someone comes to you and says, I have no envy towards anybody, then don't believe that person because he's trying to sell you something. The body is actually the proof that we are in this prison house. It's the prison uniform. The body self that we carry around, it's actually the proof that we are guilty of something. Now, it's not an embarrassment. I mean, the great Acharya, they always pray, I'm full of this, full of that. If you read the mood of Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, you know, even down to the worm in the stool. So it's not an embarrassment to admit that we have little something in our heart. I'm speaking for myself. And that's why we have realized, actually one of my greatest realization I had some time back, and I think was the greatest one. Would you like to know? I woke up one morning and I realized how fallen I am. That was one of my greatest realization. That my heart is full of unwanted things. So when we join, you know, Krishna, it's like, we're like babies. Krishna is taking us by hand. We think we are walking. And it's just like, a very nice example. One time I attended a class in Vrindavan. And I can't remember if it was Giriraj Maharaj or Burijan Prabhu. Saying that when a child once imitated the father to lift the weight, so the father is behind him, and the child is lifting the weight, and the father is actually lifting this huge weight, and the child, you know, is thinking, "Look at that! I am very strong," but he doesn't realize that. The father is behind him. So in the beginning of our spiritual life, it's like that. We think we're very pure, very strong. We are almost there. But Krishna is doing everything. He's taking us by hand. But then, once you become a little bit self-sufficient, and independent in your spiritual life, then you have to sustain yourself. Krishna let you go, and then there are tests. There are so many tests. Then you have to support yourself with, not anymore by the hands of the Lord, but by knowledge, by association, by sacrifice, by different process of spiritual practice. And that's when a spiritual life begins. And we realize anartha nivritti, all the anartha, they come out. We realize how fallen we are. So here, it's very interesting that Kamsa is coming back to his palace. almost fully realized, almost, because he went through this state when he saw Yogamaya fling away from his hands. And because the demons is described in previous chapters, the demons, they're very fond of worshipping Yogamaya Durga, the goddess Kali. So therefore, Kamsa, he could understand, he gave more credibility. Yes, there must be a providence. There is God. Then he became fearful of God. And he took the seriously on board all the activities that he did as a very, very grave and very abominable. And he felt wretched. He felt very bad. And he fell at the feet of Vasudeva and Devaki. And he begged for forgiveness, crying, "Please forgive me." Of course, Vaishnavas are always prompt to grant forgiveness if there is realization and regret. Because Kamsa went through these stages, realized he did something very bad. He killed all the six children of Devaki and Vasudeva. Now, you know, it's such a heavy activity, killing the children, not just of another person, but of your own sister, of your own family. If you do something like that nowadays, you know, it's such a sacrilege. People, they think you are an animal. No, I would speak about a demon. It's something very rude to do, very, very bad. So he came to his senses and he begged for forgiveness. That is the point. He realized, regretted, repented, and he took off the shackles, the chain from, he liberated Vasudeva and Devaki. "You are free, please, I hope you forgive me." And there was also reconciliation. So he went back to the palace, and you can see what happened. Then this verse is spoken by the ministers, and Srila Prabhupada's, later on you will study, whoever will be giving class, how dangerous is a bad association. It is actually the bad association that drags the devotee from the platform of bhakti. And again, he committed atrocity because of listening to the bad association, and he started to persecute all the children in Vrindavan. Then he didn't just kill. Then he did something even more abominable than the previous activity. First, he killed the six children of Devaki and Vasudev, but then he started to kill all these children born in the past 10 days when Durga was born, or Yogamaya. So he was on a crusader. Because the ministers, they said, this child is born somewhere in Vrindavan, in Braj, and the only way to dissipate or to clear up your doubt, just wipe out, kill all the children. All the children born in Braj. And it's a bit similar to the story of Jesus Christ, isn't it? When he was born. I think it's very, very similar. There was this Jewish king, Herod, yes. And he was a good man, but on the advice of his wife, he summoned the husband to kill all the children born at that time. And it was the same lady, the wife of King Herod, to persecute later on John the Baptist, isn't it? He had him decapitated. So you could see that history repeats by itself, isn't it? The saintly persons, they are persecuted, as is described here in this verse. And sometimes we, this is the Bhagavatam, it gives the ultimate act of violence, you know, killing children. But we, as a devotee, sometimes we are under a little test, or someone is giving us a little bit of hard time, or we complain, or we take to the police, or we write letters to the temple president, he's bothering me, he's nagging me. So we have our level of tolerance is not to be compared to the level of tolerance of this personality on the Bhagavatam. Can you imagine Vasudeva and Devaki? Of course, they're a great personality. You know, someone comes and kills your children. How do you feel about it? You want death for that person, isn't it? Revenge, you know, is the very first thing that comes with to speak about justice. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Manji Ki Jai. But you could see that Devaki and Vasudev, they forgave him and they gave him another chance. But then again, he blew it, because this is the nature of Asuric Baba. You cannot trust someone who is demoniac. He may be for few, there are intervals, for few moments, you know, they come to their senses, they realize a little bit that they've done something wrong. But then again, Punya Musika Baba, they go back because they are imprisoned by that feeling. So there is a saying in Italian, when someone is born square, he cannot die around. So if you are, if you're born a demon, you could see Kamsa, he was Kalanemi in previous lives. So he could not be born as a devotee, because the feeling, this feeling of Asuric Baba had to accompany his consciousness. So it doesn't matter how much beautiful your dress when you come into a temple, or even when you take a birth again in your next life. It is actually what is in your consciousness that will determine whether or not you are a demon or a devotee. Yam vyam vapis maram bhavan tajyante ante kalevaram. That's the verse, isn't it? Whatever you are thinking at the time of, whatever is your state of consciousness at the time of death, that will determine your future condition. That's why we are the way we are now. It's not by chance. You have a peaceful devotee, you have a very disturbed devotee, you have a... You also have an envious devotee, you have a lusty devotee. It's all from previous lives. You can't wipe it out. That's why this process, it's very powerful. We do chant every day. Why? One time they asked the question to Prabhupada. I heard this from Tamala Krishna Maharaj. I think it was Vishnu Jana Maharaj. He asked Prabhupada, if the holy name is so powerful, why do I have to keep chanting it every day? why doesn't purify my heart once and for all? And that's it. Why do I have to carry on chanting tomorrow? And Prabhupada told him, because prarabdha karma, the consciousness, you know, it's actually harassed by these feelings from previous lives. It's like, just like when you want to move a house. I give you an example. If I want to go and live in America, how much furniture can I take with me? Maybe two luggage or something. But then, you know, next month some more stuff is coming. The month after they send some more and then some more. So similarly, when we take a birth in our next life, there are millions of lives where we have already lived. How much karma can you take with you in your next life? You may take a little bit, but then you chant and you neutralize it. You're a devotee for 10 years, but then once you are purified, there is some more stuff coming. That's why we feel that. Very often I used to wonder why I've chanted my came from Mongolia for many years as a brahmachari, who come from Mongolarti, chant all my rounds, but then still I would feel stuff coming into my heart. What's going on? Is this process not working? It's because prarabdha karma. And if you read the Nectar of Devotion, is all there. The acharya, they explain. Don't be bewildered. And don't become surprised if you, anartha nivritti, you know, things, they still carry on coming. And that's why we chant every day. Until we clear up the backload from previous lives. And then you achieve nishta, peaceful. Then you are peaceful. That's why you have devotees, very advanced devotees. You could tell that they are, they like everybody and they are liked by everyone. Yoga yukta vishuddhatma, vijidatma jidendriya, sarva buddhatma buddhatma, kurvanapi nalipyate. One who has learned to master his mind and the senses and act always with the devotion is very dear to everyone. And everyone is very dear to him. But to achieve that state, it takes lives and lives of devotional practice. Sometimes we wonder, how come I haven't achieved any bhava, any devotional feelings towards the Lord? It may take some more time. It may take some more lives. The fact, you know, that we are born again and now as a devotees, we join, and it could mean also that we were devotees in previous lives, but we didn't make it. So don't be surprised if you are born again into the year 2050 or whatever, or 2060 as a baby, and then you take up spiritual life again. And then you wonder, I'm still here. It's because Krishna, of course, will protect whatever assets you have spiritually. Nyabhikramana susti pratyavayona vidyate. So whatever you have done now in this life, it will go with you. It's not lost. So always remember, whatever in whichever consciousness and feeling you will leave this body. There's a very nice verse in the Gita. Sukla Krishne Gatihiyete Jagate Sashvate Mate Ekaya Yatyanavritim. What's the last verse? Anyavartate Punaha. There are two types of death, consciousness, Krishna says. One who dies in light and he comes to me, and one who dies in darkness and he has to take a birth again. And Krishna says, for the first one is the way of no return, the second one is the way of return. So if we can't make it, we have to take a birth again and carry on. So this is the feeling of the unfortunate feelings of the ministers of Kamsa. They influence them. So we should learn from this and always try to choose good association. Good association, it's a way how to change this feeling of Asurik Bhava into a feeling of Bhakti Bhava. Kamsa being in the association of Devaki and Vasudev, he became purified. But you could see he left their association. And he went back to the palace, and the demoniac force again influenced him. And this is the danger of Maya. Once you try to give up something, a bad habit, right? And then again you get into bad association. Then the same habit becomes worse, isn't it? We call it, people, you know, they say when the drugs, they get a relapse. Or when Prabhupada used the example of venereal disease, someone who is addicted to sex, and he goes to hospital and try to cure himself. But then, by bad association, these things, they backfire even more. What is it? Dusparina nalina cha. That the senses are never satisfied. And it's like if you engage again into these activities, after you gave it up before, and then you engage again, it's like pouring fuel on fire. It will backfire even more. The senses are never satisfied. So this is the danger of the mind and the senses. And the sinful activities are triggered by bad association. That's the catalyst, contributing factor. What impels the living entities to commit sinful activities is the bad association. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's warning us to become good people. It's better, much, much better. You feel good. When you are a good person, you feel good, isn't it? When you're not good, you feel disturbed. When you have, you know, enmity towards someone, that's actually a disturbing feeling. You feel uncomfortable, isn't it? What is more comfortable, the feeling of enmity or the feeling of love? I don't know. Maybe I'm not a psychiatrist, but I feel more comfortable if I'm in peace with somebody. I don't know about. But in this world, you know, that you could see there's very quickly there are wars, you know, and arguments. It's the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. People, they get used to it. It's normal. Arguing in the family, amongst friends, arguing amongst God, brother, guru and disciples, arguments, arguing in the society, in the country, or even with other countries. So this is the instinct of the tendency of the jiva in Kali Yuga to always launch an attack, isn't it? What is it? Hypocrisy is governed by hypocrisy, the age of Kali, and quarrel. Those are the two main principles. You know, they play the music and everyone dance to the rhythmic of this music. So this is a few thoughts from the verse. And we ask if there is any questions or any comment.